You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 20, where we left off last time. Revelation, chapter 9, verse 20. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone who knows that prayer is one of the greatest ministries you can have with the Word to join me for intercessory prayer, everybody in America, every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for fervent intercessory prayer for our precious President Donald Trump and for the United States of America. We are in a spiritual warfare, and Jesus has given us power in His name and in His blood and by the Word and by the Spirit. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Amen. Each Wednesday, 6 p.m., I'm in my new location in Sun Tree. I'm right beside the produce place. You'll see a sign with an arrow there at the produce place. It points to 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida, 32940. Come and pray with me, and I love you. I do teach the Word first, so boy, you'll get some good Word first. And if when you put the Word before prayer, then you know how to pray. And so I actually help you learn how to pray. I teach you that because God taught me. So what He teaches me, I teach you. Each Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. when we do the live radio broadcast. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Sundays, 5 p.m. And now, Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. The Lord Jesus has been teaching us the seven trumpets. We've had the seven seals. They are seven signs of the end of this flesh age before Jesus comes and as Jesus comes. But in Revelation 9, 8 and 9, He began teaching us the seven trumps. A trump is an action. In other words, an actual event. Now, we learned that five of those trumpets have already sounded, so we're closer than we think to the second coming of Jesus. However, the fifth trumpet has not stopped sounding. It is still sounding. You're hearing it blow right now, because the fifth trumpet is the time of learning. And so we learned that at the sixth trumpet, the Antichrist will come, but he won't be against Christ. He'll call himself Christ, anti in the Greek instead of. He's got two horns of a lamb, but he's the voice of a dragon. He's going to pretend to be Jesus, but he's really the devil in disguise, the devil with his Jesus costume on. And he comes before the real Jesus. He's the Antichrist. Revelation 9 last week told us, he's the angel of the bottomless pit. That's that old cherubim Lucifer. That's the devil, dragon, Satan, serpent, the Antichrist. And it gave us a clue that his name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, which means devour. Now, Paul tells us that your enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Abaddon, so the Antichrist is a devil. He also told us in the Greek who the angel of the bottomless pit is, Apollyon. It means man of sin, perdition. Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the real Jesus will not come until the man of sin appears. And so we found out last week in Revelation 9 that with the Antichrist pretending to be God's Savior, the whole world will worship him and half the body of Christ deceived, there will also come Nephilim, fallen angels of Genesis 6 and also of the book of Jude. And then also when he comes, the Antichrist comes, the river Euphrates is going to be open, and that means all the demons of hell are going to be loose on the earth. We also learned that the fallen angels, now angels, when they come from the spiritual to the physical, they always take on a human body. See, that's why he says, beware lest you entertain angels unawares. Angels actually come into our assembly. Sometimes they're bad angels, but good angels. So see, they always take on a human body, but those demons do not. And he called those fallen angels the locust army. And we learned there are four stages of them. And they gnaw, and they swarm, and they devour, and they consume until there's no truth left except the 7,000 elect who do have the truth in their mouths. We learned that the time of the Antichrist has been shortened for the elect's sake. Mark 13, Jesus says, I'm shortening for the elect's sake. Revelation 9 told us it's been shortened to 5 months. Now get this straight. In the book of Daniel, originally, the time of the Antichrist was 7 years, but it was cut in half, times, times, and half time, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. Now, Jesus has shortened it. He told us last week in Revelation 9 to 5 months. So again, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He divides it into 2.5 months and 2.5 months. And I taught you last week that the first 2.5 months, you're going to beware of the fallen angels who are transformed, disguised as ministers. They're going to be on the pulpit and on the air preaching that their daddy is Jesus, and they're going to win many people to their daddy, the devil. But then that last 2.5 years, we're going to be aware of Satan himself calling himself Christ, standing in Jerusalem, standing where he ought not, calling himself God. Okay, now we're going to pick it up now and finish these two little verses, 20 and 21, so we can move along.
Verse 20, and the rest of the men that were not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk.
Now, why are people not going to repent? Because when the Antichrist comes, he's coming in peacefully, safely, and prosperously. See, you've seen all those movies. He's not coming killing people. He's pretending to be sweet Jesus, Theosophical God, Savior. So he's going to say, I'll pay your mortgage. I'm Jesus. Here, have some fun. Get a new car. Go get a new house. Go have some fun. And so they're not going to repent of worshiping the devil. Even half of the Christian church, Matthew 25, is going to think it's Jesus. Nobody's going to repent because you're having so much fun. Isn't that what most of the world wants? Fun?
Yeah.
21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts.
Why is nobody going to repent? Because the angel of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist, calling himself God's Savior, is the man of sin. He's not going to tell them they've sinned. He doesn't want them to repent. He wants them to walk into the lake of fire like he's going to have to do. They're not going to stop murdering. They're not going to stop having abortions. They're not going to stop fornicating, having sex out of wedlock, and men with men and women with women, and adultery. They're not going to stop sorceries. That is pharmacia. That's the druggies. They're not going to stop using their drugs, and they're not going to stealing. Why? Because the devil is calling himself God, and he says, don't worry about sin. I got you covered.
Yeah. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1.
Now, we come to the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet, when it sounds, after the sixth, will be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Come, Lord.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Now we learned in Revelation 1 that description is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua himself. You know, when Jesus ascended the first time and the angels told the disciples that Jesus is coming as he went up in the clouds. So he's coming with clouds. Now, in the manuscripts, you'll see it'll say clouds, but it's a figure of speech and Hebraism, and it means crowds. When Jesus comes, Enoch told us in Jude that Jesus is coming with 10,000s of his saints. So it means crowds, but it'll say clouds, even in the Greek and the Hebrew. But you have to understand the Hebraism. What about the rainbow? We learned in Revelation 4 that the real Jesus has a rainbow around his head likened to an emerald. It's the holy Shekinah glory of God. And of course, he's a consuming fire. So this angel is the angel of the Lord. And in the Bible, when it says the angel of the Lord, it means the presence of God. So this is Jesus, and the seventh trump is preparing to sound.
Verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book.
God is the Word, so he keeps books. He puts words in the book. He has an appointment book. I have one of them. I say, I'll meet you at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, okay? So he has an appointment book, and there's a set time. We do not know the hour of the day, but it is God's appointment book. And when that set time comes, Jesus shall come. So he's got the appointment book open.
Opened. And he set his right foot upon the sea.
In Revelation 17, we find that the sea represents the people. He's coming to the people on earth.
And his left foot upon the earth.
The little book is also the Biblion, the Bible.
Verse 3, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth.
Jesus, the tribe of Judah, as a lion, the king lion.
And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice.
Oh my goodness, seven thunders. We've had seven seals. We've had seven trumpets, or we're studying them. We're going to study seven vials or plagues. What are the seven thunders? Just take care. I'll explain.
4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write.
Now remember, Jesus told John to write everything he saw in a book. So John says, I was about to write what the seven thunders said.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
John, don't write in a book about what the seven thunders said. Why? In the natural, when you hear thunder, the lightning has already struck. Jesus told us in Mark 13, behold, I have foretold you all things. He's already given us the seven seals, and he's giving us the seven signs. So he says, I've already foretold you all things. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus prophesied of the Antichrist coming, and he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The flesh, the light. Satan is coming back as the light of the earth. So there's no need for the thunder, because when you hear the thunder, the lightning's already struck. So it says, John, you don't need to write what the thunder said, because the Antichrist is already here. The Antichrist will be here standing in Jerusalem when the real Jesus comes.
5. And the angel which I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Now we know the Bible says world without end, so there's always going to be life. But what this time means, that when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, we're no longer be in the flesh, the end of the flesh age. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, at the last trump, it says, we shall all change from our flesh suits into our spiritual suits. So we'll no longer be in the flesh body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 7. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished.
The mystery of God shall be finished when that seventh trumpet sounds. So what is the mystery of God? Well, Jesus says, I have foretold you all things. And so he told us in Matthew chapter 13 that he told us, he said, this is the mystery of God. It has been kept secret from the foundation of the earth. So then Jesus began to teach us in Matthew 13 the mystery of God. And he told us the parable of the tares and the wheat. He said, the wheat are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that sowed the tares, the wicked one, is the devil. And Jesus said in John 8, you are of your father, the devil. Who was he speaking about? Okay, in the garden, After God had created the six-day creation and said it was very good, all the races, God rested on the seventh day, and then he needed a farmer. And he created Eth Ha'adam and Eve, a special man, Adam, a man, through whom the Son of God, Jesus, would come, the Savior of the world, to pay our sin debt so we could be the children of God. However, while men slept, the man Adam wasn't paying much attention. He had not touched Eve yet. That old devil, that old dragon, that old serpent, that old beast beguiled Eve. Paul says exopatio in the Greek, wholly seduced her, and he fathered Cain. Keep that in mind. That's the mystery. Very few Christians understand. You still think it was a tree and an apple. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a devil. The serpent is just one of Satan's play actor names, like you call somebody, hey, you're just a bad person, you're a snake, you see. And he beguiled Eve and he fathered Cain. So that's the mystery. So the children of God are the real children of God here at the end and always, who have accepted Jesus and will not be seduced by the Antichrist. But there are the children of the devil. They're called Zawan. They look like the children of God. They say they are, beloved brother Judah, but they're not the synagogue of Satan. They're Zawan, they're poison. And that is why all this turmoil has been going. In other words, we've got two fathers here on earth. We've got God's children, we've got the devil's children. That's why the government's fighting. That's why you're fighting. That's why churches fight. That's why your job's fighting. That's why everybody's fighting. It's a war. It's a war. It's a war. Now, we do know that Jesus also told us in Matthew chapter 13 that when the real Jesus comes, he's going to separate those tares from the wheat. And then it's going to be, the mystery will be ended.
As he has declared to his servants, the prophets.
Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it says, God does nothing but first he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. Everything that God does, he's already told someone. And so we find in the book of Ezekiel 44 on through 48, all of this mystery is ended, and then time will be no longer, and the day of the Lord begins, the millennium. And you just heard it. Jesus just foretold you.
Amen. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel.
Now you can read this same story in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel went through this same thing.
Which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. 9, and I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it.
Now, notice that John was told, go and take the book. See, as long as you have a place to come where the book is being taught, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line, it is your responsibility as a child of God to go and take it. You may mean well, and you may stay home, or you may go to a movie, but you are supposed to go and take the word. Only the word shall live forever. Washing the dishes is not going to live forever. Going to the movies is not going to live forever. Your job's not going to live. Only the word and those in the word. Nothing is more important to you as a Christian than to be filled with the word. So every time when God has given you a place, when the door is open, you are to go and take it. That is a command.
Amen. And eat it up.
Digest it. Swallow it.
And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
Now, Ezekiel went through the same thing. Now, you know when you hear the word of God and you find out why God sent you through your mother's womb and you find out that he didn't get you here to get married and have children, although that's a part of, that's a good thing, or to have a home or a job or money or have fun or get a date or do this or have fun, that he sent you here to show his glory, to teach his word, to pray, to show God. It's so sweet, and it just relieves you from all of the things that people expect of you because you are here on assignment. It's so sweet. But why is it when you go and take Genesis 1 through Revelation 20, every Sunday and every Wednesday and every other time you could hear a word of God, why does it get bitter in your belly? Because Jesus himself said to you Christians, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, that Spirit lives in your belly. And when you eat the Word of God, the real truth of Word, it mixes with the Holy Spirit. And out of your belly, the Holy Spirit sends that Word of God up through your mouth. And as you tell other people of the Word of God, while it's sweet to you, it can be bitter to them. In other words, the Word of God convicts people. In other words, we are all being conformed to the image and likeness of God, and growing hurts. Most Christians want to stay in their comfort zone. I love Jesus. I go to church now and then, and I'm a good person. I don't rob, and I don't chew, and I don't go with those who do. But no. You're conformed. So you see, you don't want to go any further. You want to stay in your comfort zone. So it's bitter to you. Now, many times in an assembly, and pastors and Bible teachers listening to me on the air, let me help you here. Don't be discouraged when the congregation starts to weed out and it's not as many. That is so good. They went out from us because they're not of us.
Amen.
People come
Amen.
For a while. Oh, this is good. This is good. But when the Holy Spirit convicts and says, you need to grow. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to learn how to pray in the Spirit. You need to win souls. You need to get up off your duff and shine. You need to go and tell. Whoo, that's bitter. That offends. They went out from us because they were not of us. Don't worry about the crowd. It's a wide gate that leads to hell, and many there be that find it. It's a straight and narrow gate that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
Verse 10. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
In other words, out of your belly, the Holy Spirit sends that word. And people will be convicted and they will be offended. Don't talk to me. I'm a good person.
Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Okay, you must tell this story again, John. Why is that? Remember that Jesus took in the future, John, to the second coming of Jesus, the day of the Lord. That's when the 1,000 years reign of peace will all be in our spiritual bodies, saved and lost alike. Nobody's flying up. Jesus will be here, and the Zadok will be teaching. Ezekiel tells us this, 44 through 48. Now, Jesus is bringing some of the remnant of the Zadok, the elect, with him, but there will be some here who are alive who will also teach for that 1,000 years. So apparently John is going to be one of the teachers. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1.
Now, to understand this chapter, you need to understand that this chapter is an insert. It was written before Revelation 9. This chapter was written when the scriptures still said that the Antichrist time would be 7 years divided into 3.5, 3.5. So the numbers you're going to hear are going to adhere to 7 years, 3.5, 3.5. But then I will do the math and bring it down to 5 months, 2.5, 2.5. Now we're going to hear that when the enemy comes in like a flood of lies, the Antichrist, God lifts up a standard, the two witnesses.
And there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod.
A measuring rod.
And the angel stood and said, rise and measure the temple of God.
You are the temple of God. Measure those who have not been betrayed by Antichrist, who are still pure and holy, waiting for the true Christ. Measure them.
And the altar, and them that worship therein.
That are not worshiping the Antichrist, even though they think he's Jesus, but are waiting to worship Jesus.
Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple.
Oh, the church that is without those who have not been deceived. half the body of Christ will be deceived. Matthew 25, five are wise, five are foolish, have no oil. The lifelike proverb.
Leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
Now the holy city is Jerusalem. Okay. Now all the people who worship the devil are going to go to Jerusalem, because the devil, the Antichrist, pretending to be the Savior, will stand in Jerusalem calling himself standing where he ought not. Now 42 months is 3.5 years. Remember Daniel's time? But remember, the half there is divided in 2.5 months. Now, when the devil actually comes, it's whole 5 months. I taught you that last week. The first 2.5 will be the ministers, his fallen angels, calling themselves men, preaching in the church and on the air about their daddy, that he is God. But he will actually sit in Jerusalem that last 2.5 years. So the 42 months has been shortened 3.5 years to the last 2.5 months of Revelation 9. Remember, this chapter was written before. Everybody understand?
Yes.
Verse 3, and I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days.
1,260 days. Now, these are 2 witnesses. Now, in the Bible, any prophecy in months is the devil. He's the imitator. He's the moon. Any prophecies in days is God. Now, so these are 2 witnesses. They are sent from God to prophesy. Now, I did the math. It wasn't easy. I won't bore you with it. So what I found out is the 2 witnesses, you will be aware of them. They could be here now, but you'll be aware of them teaching the truth with anointing from 10 to 14 days before the devil calls himself God and stands in Jerusalem. But they will come while those fallen angels are still causing a revival in the Christian church to the church deceived. So thank goodness, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God lifts up a standard. Now, who are the 2 witnesses?
Clothed in sackcloth.
Why are they clothed in sackcloth? Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. I'm a weeping prophet. We weep. We cry for souls who are deceived. I weep for the church, because you don't get it. You don't get it that it's supposed to be all God. I cry for God's children, and they cry and they weep that the world has worshipped the devil and half of God's children, although they loved Jesus.
Verse 4, these are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Now, God calls you, Christian, a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's symbology. Olive means olive oil, 2 names of God, Eliyah, and it means the anointing of Holy Spirit. So these 2 witnesses are going to have a tremendous anointing of Holy Spirit, a great anointing. The candlesticks give light. Light is the word. And so these 2 witnesses are going to have the great anointing, and they're going to have the word of God, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, in their mouth. And they stand before God. That means they're 2 pillars. They hold up the word of God to the whole wide world.
Amen.
Now, in Matthew chapter 17, before Jesus was crucified and arose from the dead and went back to heaven, in his flesh he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he took Peter, James, and John with him. And they beheld Jesus, and Jesus was transfigured before him, in them, into his transfigured body. But they also saw in his transfigured body the prophet Elijah. And on the other side, they saw Moses, the lawgiver. Law is the word. So there's the prophet. A prophet means an anointed speaker. And there's the word. There's Moses. There's Elijah, the prophet, anointing. And there's Moses. And there is the word of God. Now, we know in the Bible, in the book of Kings, that Elijah did not die. He was taken up in a whirlwind. That would be Hebrew. The whirlwind means a chariot of fire, one of those round, circular, polished vehicles I taught you about last week. And so he did not die. Now, we do know that when John the Baptist came, that Jesus said he came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, Moses, the lawgiver, in the book of Jude, the devil was trying to find Moses' grave. He said to Michael the archangel, "Where is Moses buried?" Moses represented the word of God. The devil can't stand the word of God because the word of God is the only way you're ever going to get victory. So why do you not come every time the word is taught? That's your only sword. And so the devil said, "I want to see the word of God is buried." But that he could not find Moses' grave. Deuteronomy says God buried Moses. But God is a tree of life. The devil, when he touches you, kills you. He is death. When God touches you, he is life. And Moses was his friend. I can assure you, there we see Moses in his transfigured body. So later on, and he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he also was transfigured. Now, does this mean that two witnesses are Elijah and Moses? Not necessarily so. Because in the Greek manuscript, it does not give a gender. Usually in the Greek, if it's a male, it'll say male. If it's female, it'll say female. For some reason, God did not give a gender. So whoever it is, they will have the anointing of Elijah, and they will have the truth of the word of God of Moses. It could be them. We'll find out.
Verse 5, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth."
Okay, now Jesus says, "I have a baptism of fire with which to baptize you." That's the Holy Spirit anointing. Now we know that in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah was able to call down fire from heaven. He was competing with Jezebel's 450 Baal worshippers, false prophets. So he told him, he said, "Put a bullock on the altar and pray to your God, you 450 prophets of Jezebel, and I'll pray to my God, and the God that sends down fire and consumes the offering will say that that is God." So he said, "You go first." So the 450 prophets of Baal, they danced and they did a rain dance and they shouted and nothing happened. They began to cut themselves and bleed and all day long and nothing happened. Elijah taunted them. He said, "Maybe your God is pursuing." In the Hebrew, that means maybe your God's taking a potty break or maybe he's asleep. And then it was time for the evening sacrifice. It was time for Elijah. He did a strange thing. He put his bullock on the altar, but he poured water on it. He dug a trench around the altar and filled it with water. I mean, you know, water. Fire won't, with water keeps the fire from burning. But Elijah prayed, and the fire of God came down and consumed the altar. And everybody said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." One of the two witnesses will have such an anointing that when they speak the fire of God, it doesn't mean literal fire. It means that fire is shut up in your bones. You're Amen. Convicted and you pray and you cry and you give it all and you say, "God is the Lord."
Amen.
"And devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed."
Anybody touching one of God's anointed, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. They will walk into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and the angels at the end of the millennium.
Verse 6, "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy."
We know that in the book of James chapter 5 and also in Kings, that Elijah prayed that it rain not, and it rained not. So he has the power. When he prays, God hears his prayer. Whoever the witness is, God answers the prayers.
"And have power over waters to turn them to blood."
We know in the book of Exodus chapter 7, on for a few chapters there, that Moses, when he was telling Pharaoh to let his people go, turned the water into blood. So these two witnesses are going to be operating in the gifts of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, and the gifts are supernatural. You know them: healing, wisdom, prophecy, faith, discernment of spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues.
"And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will."
Now, the plague is not a disease, but the whole world will be worshiping the devil. Revelation 13 was thinking he's God. Half the church will be worshiping God. Only the 700,000, and we are now pumping that word into 145,000, not going to worship. But the whole world will worship them. But the plague is that nobody wants to hear these two witnesses saying, that's not Jesus, that's not Jesus, because everybody's going to be having so much fun. Your mortgage paid, you get a new car, you have fun. I mean, you don't want to give that up. They're plaguing you. See, the truth is bitter. The truth causes you to be better than you are. The truth says get out of your comfort zone. You got to give it all to God. And they don't want to stay in the comfort zone.
7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit,
the Antichrist,
shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them.
Now this shows us that these two witnesses have to be in a flesh body, because the spirit couldn't be killed. So now I do understand that a person God could send Elijah and Moses and put them in a human form. For many times we've entertained angels unawares, and when holy angels come from the spirit realm, I have met them, they look like a human being. So it could be that. But it looks like they might be in a flesh body. My goodness, they're going to be killed, but their work is finished. Now, don't despair.
Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt.
Great sin there, because the devil will be there calling himself Christ.
Where also our Lord was crucified.
In Jerusalem. The Antichrist is going to kill them, but people aren't going to be upset. They will be glad, because they will think these two people are fake prophets and treasonous people, and they are going to lie there. Now, I hate to leave you with that cliffhanger, but the enemy means this for evil, but God is going to turn it for good. You're going to find that what happens to these two witnesses is going to tell you the exact moment when Jesus will return. We know that Jesus told us we do not know the day nor the hour. He gives us the seasons, but he's going to reveal a mystery, and I'll tell you next time that you can do a count, 3, 2, 1, 1/2, and then Jesus will come. And with that, I will leave it there. We'll begin there right there next time. God bless you. I hope you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Now, usually at this time, I give you the mystery moment, and I'm not going to do that because I just told you the mystery. Jesus just told us in Matthew 13. But let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Ms. Sherry. I'm doing very well. What an awesome word tonight.
Awesome word.
Thank you. That is.
You know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
In the manifestation of his word through Holy Spirit, the Lord is placing us in a precise position in his word, warning us, opening our eyes to the assault which has been unleashed upon us from the enemy. Revelation 17 and 18.
Thank you, Scott Mercer.
Amen.
That is a beautiful Scott
and
stuff.
Tonight.
We appreciate your Scott stuff. Thank you.
God bless you.
Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. Jesus still heals. Those of you who are calling me on the phone to pray, I am praying for you. I have not forgotten you. I love you, and I pray for you fervently. I anoint myself by proxy for you wherever you are hurting, and I know that with Jesus' stripes you are healed. But first, let me pray for anyone who is lost. The most important thing, next to fulfilling your purpose and destiny with word and prayer, is to get saved. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Omission and commission.
Omission and commission.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To share your word.
To share your word.
To reveal the truth to people.
To reveal the truth to people.
To pray for people.
To pray for people.
And enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
And enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
I am a Christian.
I am a Christian.
I am saved.
I am saved.
Amen. Amen. For those of you who prayed that, my announcer in a few minutes is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Tell me your name. You don't have to give me your last name unless you want to, and I will pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask according to your word in Malachi 4. You said those who fear, revere, love your name, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings, the wings laser beams of light. So I ask now in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, that the laser beams of Jesus' healing Christ virtue go into all of the left ribs, all of the left ribs, all cancer be gone, everything, cells, rejuvenate, repair, restore health and cure, heal you of your wounds. Son of Righteousness, go into the right ribs, cancer be gone, all the cells and nerves and muscles, wounds there be healed, live and not die, pain be gone, live and not die, backbone, spine, central nervous system, shoulder blades, get back in place, stomachs, arteries, veins, tumors be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, he said his word and healed you. Live and not die. Take up your cross, take up your bed and arise and follow him. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. We praise God for that.
Amen.
We praise God for those of you who were healed then, and it might not be what I called out. That word went out. You see, everything is the word, and that should be your pursuit. That should be your hunger, your longing. If you're not getting all the word of God, you're malnourished. And the word is what you pray over people to be healed. The word will live forever. So the word, he sent his word and healed you. God bless you. I want to pray for you and bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, you know, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And Revelation 19:13 says his name is called the word of God. Dear friends, nothing's given to you to keep. Don't you dare hear this and sit in your comfort zone. Go and tell. It is such a sin. It's so selfish to keep this. You're called. You're called. You're to go and tell. So go and tell and bring them in from the fields of sin. It's the only thing that matters, that you do your word, the word of God, and get other people in. Your stuff doesn't matter. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Sanctify, give it all tonight. Christians, come on in. Get up and be everything God wants you to be. No longer you, but everything for God. Your time, your talents, your money, your time, your life. Oh my God, if you could only understand, we have but a short time. The rest doesn't matter. Get the word of God. Learn how to pray in the Spirit and be a blessing, and you will always be blessed. This is Sherry Medlock, your host. I thank you for listening. I love you with all my heart. I just want you to be a whole body of Christ. We don't need babies anymore. You have to come on up. We're all on the front line in battle. You're letting us down when you're not fighting with us. We're in a fight, so everybody grow up now and let us fight the good fight, for our Savior is coming after the sixth trump. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound on WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Calling all Christians who love America, Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth invites you to join her every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for President Donald Trump and for America. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Sherry is in Sun Tree next to the Produce Place at 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and may God save America. Once again, that's Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and the place, 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. And join us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Trumpet of Truth.
love is long, your love is wide, your love is deep, your love is high, your love is long, your love is wide, your love is deep, your love is high, your love is long, your love is wide, your love is so deep, your love is high, your love is long, your love is wide, well, your love is deeper than my view of grace, higher than this worldly place, longer than this road I tread, wider than the gap you fill.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me, lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.